Of all the issues that I've discussed on the show that really have a local impact and a national impact as well, I can't recall one that has generated consistently as much engagement on both sides of the issue as payday loan establishments or short-term loans, check cashing. You hear various names for them. You see them all over the place. They are ones that face a great deal of criticism because people view them as inherently predatory or exploitative. You get to borrow money at a ridiculous interest rate. It doesn't come cheaply. And most people that use these establishments, or I shouldn't say most, but I've seen a fair bit of research that says the majority are regular users. They're not just people that go one time and they have a car issue or some home repair and they need a little bit of money and then payday comes and they pay it back. No, they're people that are finding themselves constantly there. So all of a sudden you're dealing not just with having to pay for whatever expenses are in your life, but you also have to pay above and beyond that on the maintenance fees and interest cost of these things. And the province was responding to a fair bit of the concerns about these and actually, as of January 1st, has put a new interest rate cap. It doesn't really deal with much else. An interest rate cap, though, which, according to a report from Cardis, gets an F. And as I said earlier, I don't think there's an F minus. I think F is the lowest score you can get. The report was done by Brian Dykema, who works as the Work and Economics Program Director for Cardis and joins us on the line now. Brian, thanks for coming on today. It's great chatting with you.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about what the changes are in particular, because I know that last year and now that we're into the new year and into February now, we've been focusing more on minimum wage hikes and tax rates and all these other things. This is a change that we did discuss on the show, but kind of quietly went in. There hasn't been a lot of attention since January 1st.
Yeah, that's right. The interest rates actually are just one of a series of new reforms that they put in. And yeah, you're right. They went into effect January 1st, and they were sort of the last, very much like the minimum wage. Instead of it going up, they put the interest rates down. But they're just one. There's some other stuff that they've done that we actually gave them decent grades on. But you're right that putting the rate at $15 per 100 is, we did give them an F for that, and there are good reasons for it.
I want to talk about some of the other changes here, because one of them is disclosure rules, where the lenders have to give a little bit more in the way of disclosure of what the cost is going to be. Another one is how repayment works, and that one I want to get a little bit of an explanation on here as well. Sure. But the one that they did really well on, if we're in the interest of balance here, is regarding credit unions, actually.
Yeah, this was a brilliant move, and this is exactly what we were advocating for. We're just not advocating for, but that the research shows what really should be done. So one of the challenges with payday loans is that the demand is pretty steady. There is a fairly consistent demand for people who are often in a low income. They're working and they're in the low income. If something goes wrong with their breaks, or if they get sick and they've had to take a few shifts off or what have you, often they find themselves short. And the challenge is that they haven't had a lot of options, so they've had to go to these payday lenders. So what the government did was say, look, we're going to let the credit unions, we're going to get rid of the regulation that's on credit unions right now. We're going to let them try all kinds of different things. And that's a brilliant move, because it actually gives them space to try new products out, to say, what is it that our customers really need and how can we compete with these payday lenders? So we gave them an A++. We're supposed to only give A+, but this one's dynamite.
You have to wonder why they wouldn't have been able to do that already up until that point. You'd think that any financial institution that's able to do a loan would be able to do one in this format.
Right. I mean, you're right that they could have done that, but part of the issue is that there were challenges with interest rates and payment rules. They were stuck by some of the structures that were really aimed at the payday lenders. So this actually enables them to try new things, with longer amortization periods. You might have a higher cost up front, but then longer term benefits. Those things were not possible under the old restrictions, but by letting them be free of that, they can try all kinds of different things and try to find a product that's actually going to serve the people who need it.
What were the repayment changes?
Yeah, so that's a good one as well. So typically what used to happen under the payday loans, and what still does for the first three, is that you'd have to pay the money that you borrowed back plus the interest all in one lump sum. We called that the balloon payment. So at the time, it used to be that you would, say, borrow $300 and you'd pay the 21% on that, or 21 per 100, so that's what, $63, and you'd have to pay that back in one big lump sum. What the government has introduced, and this is, again, very good policy, is that on the third loan, if you get stuck in this cycle, what they're trying to do is actually give you an out. And so instead of having to have a big lump sum payment every 10 days, it actually says, no, look, I'm going to actually spread out those payments over the long run. And that actually reduces the cash flow crunch that people were feeling with those big balloon payments.
And the timeline it takes to pay back actually goes in line with the other element here, disclosure, and that's the actual cost of these loans. And interestingly enough, this one, I feel it's probably a lot like calorie counts on menus, whereas, you know, intuitively you'd think, okay, yeah, you know, having information helps you make better decisions, but in actuality, it doesn't seem like knowing the cost of borrowing really has a huge impact.
No, that's exactly right. People, it's a good analogy. You know, I'm still going to order the Big Mac. I know how much it's so good. But the what ends up happening is that people know, people are quite smart, and I think we've often underrate the smarts of people. We think, oh, because they have lesser income, they're not as smart. That's not actually true. People are pretty good at knowing the cost of things. There's some data that's saying that some people don't, or they overestimate it or underestimate it, and that's why this is helpful. You know, being clear about what you're borrowing and what it's going to cost, that's the sort of the motherhood and apple pie of finance. Everybody should do that. But you know what? It's not going to make a huge difference. The big difference is going to come from the repayment rules changes and hopefully the new alternatives.
You know, the fact that that doesn't have a huge impact really reinforces what I've always feared is the issue here, that we can't look at payday loan establishments and say they're the cause of a problem without accepting that they're really the symptom of a different problem. I mean, they're filling a need that if you were to take them out of the equation is still there, which is people finding themselves not able to meet their demands, to meet their expenses.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's the reason why we gave the F, because when you lower the cost, what it actually means is that many of these companies aren't able to make a profit and they're simply going to close their doors. And we've seen evidence of that from Alberta. Alberta underwent changes last year that were very similar to Ontario's, and we've seen a reduction, at least in Calgary, of 22% of payday lenders. Now, some people rejoice in that and say, oh, great, these sharks are out of the business. But the challenge is that, again, that demand doesn't really leave. And even if people were smart and said, you know what, I'm just going to borrow less, we looked at, you know, why it is that people borrow. And there is actually a substantial number. So 13% of people are going to payday loans just to, you know, to say, I need cash to go to the bar this weekend. So there's a certain chunk. So you could see a reduction in the number of payday loans while still not providing any help to the people who actually need it for those things like the breaks or to pay their rent or their hydro. So that is a real challenge to have suddenly that market dry up. What ends up happening is that people are forced to go online or to an underground market. And that's not what a government policy should be doing, because the minute it goes underground or the minute it goes online, you actually don't have any sort of accountability for these firms. And that's what we fear is going to happen. That it appears to be what's happening in Alberta. And I would imagine that the same thing will happen in Ontario. And that's why we gave them a hard F on that.
You know, to that end, under the interest rates, you make a really great point, and it's a very clear and salient point in your report card that I was hoping you could explain about the shortage of the $30 versus the $500.
Right. So, as we were saying earlier, if you borrow from a payday lender, there's a cost associated with that, right? So, say you borrow $300 for 10 days. That's quite a bit of money, and you have to pay it back. And let's say you borrow $500. You have to pay back, under the old rates, you'd have to pay back $605. So that's a lot, right? $105 interest,
yes,
is quite a bit. Under the new rate, you'd have to pay $575. So you say, okay, you saved yourself $30. That's great. I don't know about you, but if someone gave me $30, I'd say yes every time. but the challenge is, the $30 is not really going to do much of a dent into the size of the loan you took out in the first place, right? It's going to save you $30, but what you needed was $500. And that's the real issue here. So it looks good on paper. It's one of those things that looks really, really nice to sell. You know, we dropped it from 21 to 15, but in reality, for the consumer, it doesn't make much of a difference.
And you know, when you compound the interest rate reduction with having a longer time frame to pay it back, look, I know I've had times, especially going back to when I was in school, where I was, you know, going paycheck to paycheck, and I had some really difficult conversations with myself in that time. And look, one of the things that I can say is you're not thinking of the bigger picture when you're in a situation like that. You're dealing with what's right in front of you immediately, and you're not thinking of the repayment cost. That's next week's problem.
That's exactly right. And that is a challenge. In fact, there's quite a bit of evidence to show that when people get into debt, they actually, there's a very difficult time thinking about that bigger picture problem. And this is actually one of the reasons why I think credit unions are uniquely suited to make a difference in this environment. They tend to have a little bit more of a personal approach to banking and are a little bit more connected with the community and sort of on the ground feel. But it's also why we said other institutions, civil society institutions, can play a role here. We're talking churches, mosques, synagogues, community foundations, that type of stuff. It enables people to say, look, here's this issue. We'll deal with this cash shortage right now, but let's take a big picture approach and see what we can do to get you out of this trap and up the economic ladder.
Now, I've never used one of these services, and I don't know anyone who I know has used them, but obviously they're working. I mean, they're in business.
Yeah.
You see a lot
yeah.
of them. I've seen new ones being built fairly frequently here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you take a more detached look at it here, they're providing a service. They have to have high interest rates because the money is being given to people, and it's a very risky investment. If you're loaning money to people that are not able to, you know, meet their monthly expenses or day-to-day expenses, that's risky. They're accustomed to a certain amount of revenue, which is why I would be inclined to agree with you that the interest rate reduction really just forces these companies to say, okay, how are we going to make this bottom line that we're used to?
Mm-hmm.
But is it anyone's business, or is this one of these things where you have to just say buyer beware, give people the information, and then just let the chips fall where they may?
Right. Yeah, I think it's a good point. You're asking some pretty deep questions about what's the point of a market and what are the limits of it, right? I think, you know, you're right that in a free country, people should be able to, you know, make contracts and to fulfill those contracts. But, you know, at Cardis, you know, we're a Christian think tank. One of the things I've often said is that if you're just operating, and, you know, there's the market and the policy type stuff, but if you're just operating with a perspective that says, you know what, it's their choice, they chose to jump in the water, the fact that they can't swim, and the fact that we're giving them a buoy that's going to, be done in 5 minutes and they're going to have to pay for another one, it just doesn't seem to be a moral choice, right? So, yes, you're right. In a free market, that's the way it works, but markets should be about more than just the basic contract. We should be looking at what is it going to take to help people live the best economic lives that they can. And that's why I think organizations like credit unions, churches, synagogues, and so on, they've said, yeah, you know what, this is the way. You can choose this or you can not, and government should have a limited role in that. But what we should be doing is trying to find ways for government to get out of the way for those people who have that deeper moral understanding of what borrowing and debt is, to actually offer those services. And so in many ways, they've gone this way, and that's why we said, you know, F on the one part. But overall, it's going to be a bit of a race between whether those organizations like credit unions and community foundations can offer alternatives that help people get up out of the water that way, or whether the market's going to collapse so quickly that people are going to be left without any options. And that's not good either. So we always said, you know, a terrible choice is better than the worst choice, and that's kind of where we're at.
Well, and I'm very encouraged by the fact that you're not looking to government to be the one that solves the problems, and that's one of the challenges I've seen at the local level here in London and other municipalities as well, is they've tried to, you know, ban these things or restrict them or clamp down on where they can go, and the problem, of course, with that, as we were talking about, is it doesn't make the need go away. They can say, well, you know, no one's using a payday loan place. No, in fact, now the government has no idea where they're going, whereas you're calling for really a community-centered response, which I think is probably true of what we should be looking for in most areas of this nature.
That's right. And I mean, you mentioned municipalities. It's a great point, because one of the things that the government also did was gave municipalities a little bit more, they gave them jurisdiction to pass bylaws to define where these payday loans can go. And that may actually be helpful. For instance, I don't think it's wise for a city to say that a payday loan place should go outside a home where people have mental illness. There is a sense in which they would actually have some cognitive difficulties making good decisions. But the real challenge is other cities, like the city of Hamilton, is trying to say, you know what, we're only going to allow one payday lender per ward. And at the end of the day, that's terrible stuff. I mean, payday lenders, the existing payday lenders would kill for that type of exclusive right, right? It basically means that the government's helping you get rid of your competition, when what we need in this environment is actually more alternatives, not fewer.
Yeah, and that system is particularly egregious because that's basically rewarding either existing operators or whoever can build the fastest. I mean, you run in there, you buy a plot of land, you plant your flag, and you know the person who's been saving their money, trying to get financing, trying to build a business is out in the lurch there.
That's right. I mean, it's a total bias towards the incumbents, and that's just bad. That's just bad for all markets. Whenever you give an advantage to you give a legal advantage, and let's not forget about that, right? It's a state mandated requirement that only that one person can go. So you've basically got the government backing you up, getting rid of your competition for you. That's just not good for any markets. That wouldn't be good for, you know, the ice cream shop or the donut market either. You know, as much as I like Tim's and regularly don't read the calories.
Well, it would be good for them. That's precisely the problem. It would be great for just the one, though.
It would, exactly. It would be good for the consumer, though, because then you'd find yourself paying, you know, $8 a donut, whereas, you know, currently it's $1, and part of the reason is...
Yeah, you need the payday loan place to pay for the donuts and the coffee.
That's exactly right. That's right.
The Revor card by Cardis, Payday Loan Regulations, A Horse Race Between Red Tape and Innovation, evaluated and authored by Brian Dykema. An F on interest rates, but some other more positives in there, but again, the root... not really addressed by this. Brian, thanks very much for coming on the show today. Great chatting with you.
Yeah, thanks. Great questions as well.
All right. Thank you, sir.